have your Bibles, I trust that you do. Let's turn to Revelation 22, last chapter of the Bible. In fact, close to the last verse, but Revelation 22 and then verse 20. And this message, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Kingdom Come. There's so much that's tucked away in here, not just literally, but also what is implied by it. But what a joy that we can say directly to the Lord, Thy Kingdom Come. Not just to an angel, not just to a man, but to the Lord Himself. But Revelation chapter 22, chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible, and in verse 20, the Word of God says, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in Thy house, Father. What a joy to be here. I thank You, Father, for Your Word, Your provision for us, Lord, and just the answered prayers, even amidst this sin-cursed world. And Father, we are reminded that we live in a sin-cursed world. Father, we are reminded that there's a lot of pain and heartache, disappointment in this world. But Father, what a comfort to know that You saved us from this world. And this world is not our home. We're just a passing through, and our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so, Father, we look forward to the celestial kingdom, the city of God, city of gold. And Father, let us never be too enamored with this world. Let us truly be looking forward to Your kingdom. May we truly say, pray, and desire Thy kingdom come. I thank You, Father, for this joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, we live in a sin-cursed world. I think I've shared, I've been blessed now for, I don't know how many, for half a year maybe, I forget, maybe longer, that every Tuesday morning, I call in with this pastor prayer line, you know, and there's about seven or eight other preachers around Wisconsin, like Faith and Practice, and we just spend, you know, a time praying together. And that's all we do every Tuesday morning. It's 7 o'clock, and so we call in. There's not a lot of chit-chat. I mean, there's some requests for prayers. And then there's a little, we take turns doing little devotions, which is a blessing as well. And then after that, we pray. And it's been a real blessing for me, a very humbling thing, that right off the bat, I find out, like, wait a minute, I'm not the only one in this spiritual warfare. We're not the only ones hurting. And truly, just from last Tuesday's call, I am so reminded that we are in a sin-cursed world. One of the pastors, I don't need to say who, but one of the brothers, his brother, who serves in ministry, had, you know, he's got Crohn's disease for a while now, but just found out he's got colon cancer, you know, and his brother is only 37, very young, only 37 to have colon cancer. Another pastor, severe back pain, to the point where it's really disrupting his ability to minister, and that's hard. You know, your desire is to labor, and you can't even move, you know, that can be very tough. And got some medication for that, but then it messes up with his heart medications. I mean, there's a lot of extra trials that go along with that. To run the race is hard enough. Now you add this on to that. One of the pastors in Milwaukee, his nephew has leukemia, just 19 years old. He got it first when he was 14. They thought they got rid of it, but then it came back now. So we pray for him, you know. And in fact, his nephew's dad, so his brother, also pastors in Minnesota. We talked about the ATV accident in Oshkosh, very, very tragic. 11 and 7, two young girls killed when their child ATV was struck by SUV. And I didn't see the pictures of it, but apparently the SUV was total and undrivable. And so let alone an ATV, I don't know how that, you know, how it even looked. But just a heartache there. Last Tuesday, we went down to Madison. There was a preaching conference there. That was a blessing to be there, to be encouraged in our work with the Lord. But I got a chance to meet one of the missionary men that we've been praying for many months now for his wife. His wife has terminal cancer. So I got to meet the husband. That was a joy. You know, they're missionaries to Tanzania. And then I know we've been praying as well on the pastor's prayer call on this other missionary lady, the wife. She's been diagnosed with I forget what kind of cancer, but she's also got cancer, a recent diagnose. And then this is back on May, end of May, May 23rd. Some of you might have caught the story here. It made national news, but there was this young couple to Haiti, missionary couple to Haiti that were attacked and killed by gangs. Young couple, the husband was 23, the wife was 21. just married, shy of 2 years. Of course, you know, they showed the photos and all that, just a very young couple, just very tragic. They gave their life serving the Lord Jesus Christ on the mission field, not knowing the horrors that awaited them when they signed up to do it. But I'm reminded of the Word of God. If you turn real quick to Revelation 2, verse 10, praise God for their crown of life, the martyr's crown. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. In fact, I know our government has really put all stops on travel to Haiti. It's kind of considered a hot zone, dangerous zone. It's going to run amok by gangs and crime groups. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And what a comfort to know that just give your life for the Lord, even in the face of death and martyrdom. Don't rescind, don't pull back, give our all for the Lord, live for Him. But we are living in a sin-cursed world. I mean, there's pain everywhere, hurt, sickness, illness everywhere. But my friends, God is faithful, amen? God is faithful. So our main verse, 22, verse 20, Lord Jesus Christ says, he which testifieth these things saith. The Lord is speaking himself. That is a wonderful thing. These are not just candid words. These are not just a bunch of undecided maybes. Okay, this is a solemn promise of truth. Of course, God cannot lie. And to be doubly sure, he testifies, almost like testifying in court. Okay, so we know this is guaranteed to happen. That this is a profound truth. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is a personal guarantee. Quickly meaning suddenly, for sure, guaranteed, you know, when no one is looking. And to that, John says, and may we say, amen. Amen, yes. You know, I'm thankful for the gift of prayer. But it's hard, you know, because that's why we have sickness, because our body is cursed. That's why we have hurt, disease, and pain, and famine, you know, greed, and whatever, wars in this earth, because this earth, this planet is cursed. It's marred by sin. That's why it's going to produce, you know, wicked things. It's because it's cursed. It's, you know, it's condemned. Why would we ever want, you know, we shouldn't marvel when things go bad. Like, well, that's bound to happen. This flesh is cursed. It's rotten. But praise God that he saves us, not just from this earth, but he's going to make all things new. He is so faithful. So surely I come quickly. This is a wonderful, look at verse 20. It goes hand in hand with verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. They're both saying the same thing. Okay, in other words, the Lord says, I'm coming. And the bride of Christ, the believers say, please come. Okay, and so it's both. Okay, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus says, surely I come quickly. John says, amen, even so. So especially so, come, Lord Jesus. It is a wonderful thing. And I found myself praying more and more the Lord's Prayer, praying and desiring for God's kingdom to come. Because this world that we live in, it's going down, it's rotten, it's sinful. And may we have, as we desire to pray, may we have the desire for God's kingdom and the distaste for this world as we have it. God is all sufficient. Praise God. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say what? Come. And so God desires us to desire his kingdom to come. With him. He's coming with his kingdom, okay? And it's a wonderful thing when, you know, when dad comes back from work and the kids, you know, the little ones, they surround me and they mob me at the door. That's precious. That's precious. Because I stumble in and I don't want to drop stuff on them. But they wrap me up and then I can't even move. I'm kind of stuck there for a while. But that's warm to my heart because I know they desire me to be there. What you don't want, come home and no one even bats an eyelash, don't even looks at you. You know, hello, I've been gone all day. You know, dad, shh. You know, that's what you don't want. Okay, the idea is Jesus is saying, hang in there, I'm coming. Surely I come quickly. I mean, this is what he's saying. What a blessing when he can see us saying, he that, okay, the Spirit and the bride, bride's us. say, come. That means thy kingdom come. That's our prayer. That's our desire. And let him that heareth say what? Come. He wants to say, come, come, come. And let him that is athirst come. The invitation for Jesus Christ is the living water. He's our all-sufficient Savior. And whosoever will, that's anyone, Jew or Gentile, let him take the water of life freely. It's open. Come. Won't you thirst for him? For I testify, he is our all-sufficient Savior. Don't add to God's word. Don't change it. Don't correct it. Don't minus, take away from it. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. This is as he's wrapping up Revelation, God's truth to us. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And from the things which are written in this book, he is our all-sufficient Savior. He's left us his precious, precious word. That's all we need is what we have. And then, of course, verse 20, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. May we say, just like John, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. May that be our desire. Turn with me to Matthew. This is, you know, we touched on this in Luke 11. This is, again, here the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this has been, you know, like I said, I've been praying more. The model prayer, you know, and it's a model prayer for a reason. Again, it's for God's glory, as we see the model prayer. For God's glory, not mine, but his will, not my will. But again, right up in the start of the Lord's Prayer, in fact, the first two verses of it, Matthew 6, let's go to verse 9. Because this is how John the disciple in Revelation, this is how he ends the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. I mean, he's saying the same thing, right? John is part of the bride. He's saying, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus says, come. He says, come. Yes. And so verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is how the Lord tells us, instructs us to pray. Not just magic words to make it click, but to reveal our heart condition. Our Father which art in heaven. Again, it's not just God, not just Creator, not just Yahweh, not just Jehovah. It's Father, Dad, Abba Father. This is a forever relationship. This is just wonderful that Christians are not just followers of God. He is our Father. We are His children. So the whole premise of the prayer is in the relationship of Father-Child. Our Father which art in heaven. The idea is we're, you know, we're struggling on this sin-cursed earth. God is in heaven. Okay. Hallowed be thy name. It's for him. We give him reverence. We give him honor. We humble ourselves before him. And then, of course, right away in verse 10, thy kingdom come. Right away. And if I can just speak candidly, you know, it's to my shame, I don't always desire God's kingdom to come as much as I should. You know, it's easy when things go well, right? You know, when, oh, I just got a raise at work. I got a new car, you know. And like, hey, life is pretty good here, you know. But be careful about these things, because these things can draw our affection and our attention away from God's kingdom. But all we need to do is to be praying for one another. We are reminded real quick that this world is a sin-cursed world. You know, if your loved one was sick and dying from cancer, of course you want them to be healed. Of course, and the only way that this world can be healed from sin is through Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. He's going to make things all new. He's going to burn it up and make it new. And so, verse 10, thy kingdom come. May we truly desire God's kingdom to come and supersede this present earth. Thy will be done in earth, that is in accordance to his kingdom come, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm not going to re-preach this, okay, but the idea is that God gives us provision every day so that we can better prepare for his kingdom, okay? This is not just for us to barter with God. You know, God, you give me my bread, I'll give you reverence. Deal? No, that's not what it's about. The idea is, the context of this is, God provides for us by his grace so that we can work for his kingdom to come, because until then we live in a sin-cursed world, but God is faithful, his grace is sufficient, but there is work to be done. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oftentimes, it's easy for me to just skip verse 9, 10, 11, 12, go straight to verse 13. You know, just, Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Okay, that's, no. Thy kingdom come. Desire God's kingdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen meaning so be it. You know, God's will be done. It means it's proclaiming, yes, God's will be done. Thus say the Lord. And it is not just a word that we just say, just throw it around. The idea is that we believe it. We confess it. We're agreeing with it. We're sold out to it. Amen. What a blessing. And so let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yes, God's grace is sufficient. Praise God for His mercy. But there's still work to be done while we still live in this sin-cursed world. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In a familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That's our attitude and doctrine. That's the truth that we live. Why is that? Well, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Has already happened. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. For example, infant baptism. Okay? And the list goes on. Okay? Again, notice the context here, that in the last days it's not as though men will be completely casting off any religious appearance. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they do want their ears tickled with some kind of doctrine. It's false doctrine. But they do want to have that appearance of godliness. But of course, they're denying the power thereof. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Amen. I wish in my flesh it says avoid afflictions. It doesn't say avoid afflictions. It says endure it. So hardships will come. Brace yourselves for impact. It's going to come. Some of you are in afflictions right now. Endure it. Don't tap out. Don't throw the towel in. Do the work of an evangelist, that is a soul winner, a one who tells, makes alive other people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that we have in our heart, if we are prayed up and bring it to our mouth, can change lives and see people saved. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Whatever ministry of reconciliation God has given every believer. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, that is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, this is a personal thing, Paul labored for the Lord. The Lord himself was going to grant him this, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul, he gets to glory, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not just one of his middlemen, his prophets or angels, the Lord Jesus himself gives Paul a crown of righteousness. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Thy kingdom come. And so, my friends, you know, we do the work, you know, we get busy for the Lord, amen. And so we labor in the harvest fields, but our desire is for God's kingdom. You know, just imagine you're out there in the harvest fields. I mean, it's good to be busy for the Lord, but our heart isn't for the harvest. You know, our heart, I want to go home. You can't wait to go home, right? That's how it is. You know, you're working at on the assembly line or whatever it is. You can't wait for that boo. Oh, I'm going to go home. Yet thy kingdom come. This world is sin cursed. All them that love his appearing. Let's go to Revelation 21. We'll wrap it up there. Verse 4. Revelation chapter 21. Let's go to verse 1. They're all good verses. Build up to verse 4. But this is the kingdom that awaits us. It is a paradise, my friends. How can we not desire this? Only a distracted Christian would not desire this. And that's how we should not be, right? Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. this is just a vision. this is awesome. And I just imagine John, he sees this vision, and then after that, it's back to the grind. He's back stuck in Patmos, like, Lord Jesus, come. You know, right? I mean, you know, because he was exiled. So, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This is the celestial city, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I mean, this is, let it sink in. You know, you can say, yeah, we have a, you know, democratic republic, or at least we're a democracy, you know, in a, you know, society. One day it'll be a theocracy. God himself will rule in person. This is for me at least, this is kind of mind-blowing. Like, God himself is going to be there. I mean, that is amazing. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death in this kingdom that comes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Man, who likes pain? None of us like pain. Who likes sorrow? I don't like sorrow. You know? I mean, like, yeah, sign me up. I mean, yeah. For the former things are passed away. Thy kingdom come. Isn't that awesome? Child of God, my friends, keep desiring God's kingdom to come. And don't get too attached to this world. It's easy, you know, hey, I get caught up. You don't have to, you know, to do much to you. Just give me an apple pie. Like, hey, I'm happy. Life is great. Well, you know, but look to the Lord. We live in a sin-cursed world. Our bodies are sin-cursed. And of course, let us pray for one another. God is faithful, and his grace is always sufficient, but may we always desire thy kingdom come. Let's pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be here. Thank you, Father, for your word and for your grace, for your mercy. Help us to say, even as John here says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Abba, Father, we do desire thy kingdom come. Lord, please, Lord, until then, let us be vigilant about thy business, Lord, and busy and sowing the seeds and laboring in the harvest. But Father, truly our heart is not to this world. And even your word tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so, Father, help us to truly just be laborers, not partakers with the world, but laboring in the world for the salvation of souls. And Father, help our affections always be on things above, that we desire truly thy kingdom to come. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friend.